Hello and welcome. It's hour number three of the podcast. The Philadelphia Eagles had high expectations this season. They had figured they'd fix their defense a little bit. They were going to be a big man on campus in the NFC East. How's that working out? Don't ask. The Eagles embarrassed by the Redskins, or the former Redskins, the Washington Football Club in week one. They come back against the Rams, and Carson Wentz says the Eagles shouldn't hit the panic button. I disagree. It's never too early to hit the panic button. I'll explain why here in hour number three. Hello and welcome. It's hour number four of the podcast, and Josh Allen slicing up with surgical precision the Miami Dolphins, making them into some seafood on a platter there as they just tore into the Miami Dolphins. So Josh Allen, is he the favorite to be the MVP in the NFL? I put the kibosh on that conversation way too premature. I'll tell you why here in hour number four. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to 0-16. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, as we spread the gospel of sports conversation emanating live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Although we're apart these days, we're sharing more, and Geico is sharing more too with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So our NFL heavy show, we head now to the land of brotherly love, Philadelphia, the Rams and Eagles. Not much of a point spread on this game. Both teams dealing with injuries, but Philadelphia ravaged by injuries leading into this game. So the gambling market dictated that. In fact, at one point, the Rams were favored. I think the kickoff, Philadelphia ended up a one-point favorite at home. And Jared Goff passing for not one, not two, but three touchdowns. He averaged 9.9 yards per attempt. What gives with that? How about that Eagle defense? It was his fourth best career passer rating. Jared Goff slicing up Jim Schwartz. Woe begone Philadelphia Eagles defense. But rather than sit here and wax poetic about the Rams, which I would have no problem doing, I actually thought the Eagles were going to play much better. The better story is in the losing locker room here. And Philadelphia, who fancied themselves as a playoff contender, are off to a winless start. They're 0-2. It's one thing to lose to Washington, but now to come back at home, you got to protect those home games at all costs. Obviously, that did not happen. Carson Wentz, another miserable day. He passed for 242 yards, no touchdowns, not one but two interceptions, and averaged an anemic 5.6 yards per attempt. Remember, average is seven. He was a yard and a half below average for Philadelphia. And then after the game, Carson Wentz, who legendarily was booed by no fans, the crowd noise, the boos when he threw an interception in the end zone. But anyway, here's Carson Wentz afterwards, who says the Eagles are not panicking. They are not panicking despite being 0-2.
We got to execute, plain and simple. We got to execute. You know, we executed some things very well today. You know, I thought we had some good movement up front, running the ball in our turbo type stuff, tempo, up-tempo offense. Did some good things, just not enough.
All right, now here's the Carson Wentz soundbite where he talked about the Eagles not panic.
You know, at the end of the day, we had two interceptions and the fumble. Turning the ball over is really killing us the last 2 weeks. Those are things we know we can clean up. But other than that, we truly feel that we're right there. We're just missing some things, timing of some things. So we're not panicking. We know what we got to clean up, and we will. You know, we're obviously frustrated. You never want to start 0-2. You know, last week, the way we lost Washington, and starting 0-1, obviously not what we want and not how we expect to finish ball games. And then today, coming out behind it again, not where you want to be. But we know that there's enough things through two games, offensively speaking, that we can put on the tape and know, all right, we're right there. We're just missing some things. We're right there. Don't panic. We'll be okay. And I've always had all the confidence in the world in our defense. You know, things happen, but we're not panicking. We're excited to get back on.
All right, you heard it there. We're not panicking. He kept repeating it, which tells you he is panicking. All right, so do you agree or disagree with Carson Wentz's sentiment, which he repeated multiple times there, that the Eagles should not panic? No, I am a panic-first type of person, especially for Philadelphia. All right, now you've got the bowels, the wagon, and the real estate, and we will combine all these things together. Now, first of all, the Eagles have now lost to Washington and the Rams. Now, I think the Rams are going to be a little bit above average, a little bit above average. Washington, that might be their only win when it's all said and done. Those are a couple of games, though. If you look at it from the Philadelphia side of things, fly, Eagles, fly. The assumption, you know what happens when you assume? They assumed the position that they were going to get off to a 2-0 start. And now they've been smacked in the face. And while it is early, right? It is early. This does qualify as the sky is a-falling on top of the birds. And when you go into the bowels of Lincoln Financial Field, somewhere underneath that stadium, there's a panic button, and I do recommend hitting the panic button. It is the first time in the Doug Peterson era that the Eagles have gotten off to an 0-2 start. The last time Philly got off to an 0-2 start, the Chipper, Chip Kelly, was the head coach, and he was fired after that season. Chip Kelly, done in Philly after the 0-2 start. It's how the birds have gotten to this particular point, which causes you to want to hit the panic button, and you would be right to hit the panic button. 64 points allowed in two games. Do you think the Washington Football Club is going to finish in the upper half of offense in the NFL? Because I know I don't. I even have my doubts about the Rams. Now, the Rams are off to a very encouraging start, and Sean McVay is starting to get some of his luster back as an offensive genius and boy wonder, and he had lost that last year. But still, are the Rams a top five offensive team in the NFL? They certainly look like it against Philadelphia, but it's the mistakes. It's the self-inflicted mistakes here. Six turnovers in the two games, 64 points allowed as we pointed out, five of those turnovers from Carson Wentz, the guy that says, don't panic, nothing to see here. The Eagles' offense is only averaging 18 points per game. It's only two games. We only get 16 games in the NFL. The defensive breakdowns, and those are obviously cranked up to a higher degree because of the turnovers. You're putting more pressure on your defense, which wasn't great to start with, and you can see you don't need some football expert to tell you. Just basic football knowledge tells you that the Philadelphia Eagles are behind the eight ball right now. Now, secondly, Carson Wentz continues to be a riddle wrapped up in an enigma for the Eagles because you have the good and the bad. Carson Wentz had the longest active streak in the NFL with at least one passing touchdown in 20 straight games coming into the game against the Rams. That obviously came to an end. Wentz did not have a touchdown pass in this game. It was the first game without a passing touchdown since back in November of 2018, a game at New Orleans. So far in 2020, Carson Wentz has not only been a quarterback, he has been a little shop of horrors for Philly. And you're only 12.5% of the season in, right? 16 game season, two games is 12.5%. But not only is Carson Wentz a quarterback, my God, the stats, he's completing less than 60% of his passes in a passers league. He's averaging 6 yards per attempt against the Washington and the Rams defense. Two touchdowns, four interceptions, no touchdowns in this last game against LA, and a passer rating of 64.4. So not only the four interceptions, he's also lost a fumble. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like Baker Mayfield or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Baker Mayfield the last year or Ryan Fitzpatrick of any year. But here's the problem. Philadelphia, they are fully vested in the Carson Wentz stock. They have hitched their wagon, for better or worse, to Carson Wentz. And right now, it's for worse. They gave him the contract. They handed him a $128 million deal, which includes that $16 million signing bonus not that long ago. And Carson Wentz's cap hit is going to skyrocket. It really hasn't even kicked in yet. It's going to skyrocket next year. Carson Wentz is locked up in the Delaware Valley through 2024. There is a potential escape clause after next season, the 2021 season. However, that would leave almost $25 million in dead cap money. And as I have learned in the last couple of months, the salary cap is ridiculous. It only applies when you want it to apply. But I would say $25 million or $24.5 million in dead cap money would lead you to believe that Carson Wentz is going to be the Eagles quarterback come hell or high water until 2024. Now, the final thought here. We've heard it before. We repeat it again. Life comes at you fast in the NFL. Historically, if you look at all the teams going back to 1978, that's the point of demarcation. There have been 321 football clubs that have started 0-2 since they went to the 16-game schedule in 1978. And of those 321, less than 12% have turned it around and made the playoffs. 36 out of 321 teams have gotten off to an 0-2 start. So that means not only the Eagles here, also the Minnesota Vikings and all the other teams that are off to the 0-2 start. Now, the only caveat here, while I am certainly bashing and I'm teeing off on Philadelphia, the one saving grace here for the Philadelphia Eagles is, as they say in real estate, location, location, location. While the Eagles are terrible right now and Carson Wentz, he doesn't know what's front, what's back, what's sideways, what's up, what's down. He doesn't know any of that. At this moment, being Brenny Brightside, it's all about location. The NFC East is a dog food type of division. You can be 7-9 and win the division. The Cowboys needed a miracle to beat the lowly Atlanta Falcons. And if the Falcons had any kind of coaching and any kind of smarts on special teams, the Cowboys don't complete the comeback, but ifs and buts were candy nuts. And at 1-1, Dallas is tied with Washington for first place, and the Eagles and Giants are 0-2. And they are the other half of the NFC least. And next week, the Eagles play host to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. That is a game you would suspect that Philadelphia will be able to win. However, the Bengals have shown they have some offensive pedigree there, so they will be able to move the ball. Their defense is horrible. If Carson Wentz goes out and pukes all over the field against Cincinnati, then you might as well call the Bears up and trade for Nick Foles at that particular point, because I guess that's all you can do. What else can you do? If you go out and lose to Cincinnati, they better win that game, because after that, the Eagles have the 49ers. Even the 49er backups will be able to beat Philly. They have the Steelers on the road, and they host the Ravens. So not exactly a fortuitous schedule for Philadelphia. Now, meanwhile, all right, the Rams feeling pretty good. The LA Rams. Sean McVay. He was off the cool kids list. He wasn't part of the cool kids after last season. He's starting to work his way back in. He's starting to work his way back in on that list of popular people. Rams are 2-0 against the NFC East, so they really are the top team in the NFC East. Jared Goff has been one of the NFL's top quarterbacks the first 2 weeks. Is he as good as Russell Wilson? No. But the first 2 weeks against the Cowboys, and that was before the Cowboy defense was ravaged by injuries, Jared Goff was good. Not great. He was good. He was much better in this game, the fourth best game of Jared Goff's career, passer rating-wise. And this was supposed to be a transitional season for the Rams. Todd Gurley gone. He's out of there. And the Rams have gotten off to an immaculate start, and now we will find out the real test for the Rams. It's one thing to beat the Cowboys, who are not that great, and beat Philadelphia, but now the Rams have a date with the Buffalo Bills, and that is a much different situation there for the Rams on tap, and the Rams offense starting to move a little bit, and they got the no-name backfield. They got a bunch of guys you never heard of running the football. Todd Gurley, the big name, he's out there running into the back of his offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons now. And the Rams, with a cadre of running backs, and the casual fan could not name any of them, but it doesn't matter because they're getting it done. In fact, in this game, the Rams offense, their running ability, They ran for 191 yards in this game, averaged 4.9 yards a carry without a single name brand running back on the team. Darrell Henderson, who was a stud at Memphis a couple years ago, and I thought he was going to be good last year. He didn't get a chance. He averaged 6.8 yards per carry. He had a 40-yard run. He had 81 yards. Malcolm Brown had 47, and they came at you in waves, the Rams. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that or anything else that we haven't mentioned yet in the NFL? We only have so much time here, so you can certainly call up and talk about your favorite team if we have not addressed your favorite team. I try to pick and choose, hand-pick some of the more interesting stories in the NFL, and that's just how it goes. So 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Getting it done, but only getting it done half the time. Half the time. We'll get to that, and we'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Maller 2020, and you can be heard in the democracy of the Ben Maller Show. We encourage and welcome the voice of the people. That would be you following the voice of this show. On Twitter, he's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is the voice you hear when you call into the show as he is manning the phones. He is the liar and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop the Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
I'm not your boy, boy.
And all live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
Well, congratulations are in order for the Detroit Lions. They have become the first team in NFL history to cough up not one, not two, not three. How about four straight double-digit leads? Matt Patricia putting his mark on Detroit Lions football. Lions have lost 11 straight games under Matt Patricia. It gets better and better and better. The Lions had held, was it eight fourth-quarter leads the last 17 games? Now, in this game against the Green Bay Packers, a game that does not get the full billing, the Lions came out early on. You're thinking, okay, things are going pretty well here at Lambeau Field. Why not this be our chance? The Lions played the Packers very tough last year, but at the end of the first quarter, it was 14-3, 11-point lead. Matthew Stafford had a touchdown pass, and they were off to a good start, and the rest of the game, after leading 14-3, they were outscored the Lions the rest of the game 39-7, I believe, was the final, the rest of the game, as they gave up after taking a 14-3 lead. They then proceeded to give up the next 31 points to Green Bay, and the Lions are 0-2. And the Packers, who I said would not win 13 games, and they will not win 13 games. They might win all 16 the way they're playing here. But yikes. Man, oh, man. And Aaron Rodgers, typical kind of, he had a couple of touchdowns. He didn't have the gaudy stat line like he did against the Minnesota Vikings. All right, let's go to the phones right now, and let's say hello to Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Let's check in with the Boston hater who's calling in a rare special treat. I'm trying to think why. Oh, the Red Sox. That's right. The Red Sox were eliminated. I'm sorry about that. Hello, Boston hater.
Yes, sir, Ben. For the 99th time in 104 years, the Red Sox haters dynasty is going smooth as silk. Red Sox haters, 99 rings, Boston 3, wild card 1, shortened season 1. A legitimate championship in baseball is coming in first over the length of the schedule, not this wild card crap instituted by the second most hated man in sports history, Bud Selig, who killed baseball, which was perfection for 90 years from 1903 to 93, where you had to come in first. We saw the greatest team in the history of sports, the New York Yankees, march to 29 championships in 44 years and bathe in Boston blood for the... Oh, by the way, over the last 102 years, the Yankees have beaten Boston by 11 games a year on the average, and yet the idiots call it a rivalry. It's like putting a baboon in a cage with a tiger. They can lay down together, but only the tiger is going to get up. Just like the distortions in the wild animal kingdom, Ben. You're familiar with the statement, the lion is the king of the beasts.
King of the jungle, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know there are eight animals that can kill a lion one-on-one. Can you name them, or you want me to just tell you?
Just tell me, go ahead.
Tiger, elephant, rhino, hippo, Cape buffalo, sable antelope, and in the guise of cover, a 60-foot python, and in the water, a crocodile. So there's a fallacy right there. But, you know, Ben, Tom Bleepin' Brady, 2-5 in the postseason against the Manning brothers. Eli and Peyton, bless their Patriot haters' hearts, beat them 5 straight times, and it should be 0-7 without the Spygate in 2-3-4 when they took 2 titles from the Colts by taking illegal film of them before the playoff games. But, you know, Ben, on your network, have you ever contemplated, I might make a suggestion, could you trade Shannon Sharp for... Shannon Sharp is traded.
What do you want to make the trade? What are we trading him for?
No, Nick Wright for Shannon Sharp. That way you'd have Nick Wright against Skip Clueless, and they could, because, you know, Nick Wright thinks that LeBron James is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and Skip Clueless thinks he's a choking dog. And that would be great to have them scream at each other.
Yeah, I don't really control that, Boston. Now, Boston hater, let me ask you this, Boston hater. You're really anti-wild card, and I imagine you don't like this 60-game season. So if the Yankees were to win the World Series here, are you going to count that as a legitimate World Series?
When you've been screwed out of 8 American League titles by World Wars and other things, and, I mean, we would have won 10 out of 13 from 94 to 2006 without Bud FNC. Like, of course, Joe the Jackass Torrey, who had killed us twice. I told you once, Ben, if Casey Stengel, Joe McCarthy, Miller Huggins, Sparky Anderson, or Dick Williams managed the 201 to 206 Yankees, we won anywhere from 2 to 4 world titles. How in God's green earth do you have Tom Gordon out there on the 8th inning of
Boston hitter, really what you're saying is, yes, you will count this as a legitimate championship. You're going long-winded here, but you are if the Yankees win, you are going to call up and celebrate.
Well, I'm getting kind of up there. Oh, by the way, you know, Ben, I heard your buddy Cowboy in Windsor on another network.
Is he cheating? Is that right? He's cheating on me?
Well, he calls himself Brady on the other show, and the guy said that Jim Rice was a jerk, and the Cowboy came on to defend Jim Rice. But do me a favor, don't put on the special effects with the Cowboy, because he has some good numbers, good stats.
All right. Thank you, Bostonator. I guess we'll talk to you if the Celtics don't come back against the Heat, although they get the win to make it a 2-1 series over the weekend. That'll be the next time. This is a very busy time for the Boston hater, because all of these sports being tossed together here. So normally we spread out the Boston hater. I get a call here. A couple months later, we get another call from him. But now he's got to work overtime. And as he said, he's getting up there in age, the Boston hater. I'm glad he's still with us to call in and provide that kind of hearty commentary.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
So, we taken out of Soldier Field, Chicago. A lot of hyperbole flying in the air everywhere. All about Mitch Trubisky at halftime. Mitch Trubisky was high strutting. He was feeling good. The Chicago Bears had a 17-0 lead over the Giants. Everything was great in the Windy City. And at halftime, Mitch Trubisky was high strutting, and he was flexing his muscles. He was 13 of 18 in the first half, 159 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, was averaging 8.8 yards per attempt, had a passer rating of 136.1. He had taken what he had done against the Lions in the fourth quarter and did it again. He did it again against a really terrible Giants team. Well, then they went in at halftime, and don't know what they did at halftime, but I do know in the second half, Mitch Trubisky not only was a quarterback, but he pooped his pants. 5 of 10 after halftime, 31 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He averaged 3.1 yards per pass attempt in the second half, had a passer rating of 17, not 170, a 17 passer rating in the second half. And this continues a trend here for Trubisky, where he will sporadically put together a good quarter here, good quarter there, but then also have a couple of stink bombs, which means you're not reliable and you cannot depend on a guy like that. Now, you would expect Trubisky to play as well as he did in the first half against the Giants throughout the game, because the Giants are a pathetic pack of losers there. But it was not the case. And so the final numbers for Trubisky, despite having that great start, he ended up with a quarterback rating of 78, and he averaged less than 7 yards attempt despite getting off to that really impressive start. And Daniel Jones sounds like Elijah Manning, plays like, I guess he plays like Elijah Manning, at least the last couple of years. Not good. Not good at all. All right, let's go to the phones right now. And eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's go to Nashville, and we'll say hello to Dave in Nashville. Hello, Dave, the Music City.
What's going on, Ben? You got a Ryan Tannehill problem, my friend.
I don't have a Ryan Tannehill problem. Why would I have a Tannehill problem? I don't believe in him.
But this guy is the definition of efficiency. 259 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah.
No, he played well. He played well
about this guy the whole time, but he's been nothing but gold since he's been in Tennessee.
Well, he wasn't gold last week. He was not great last week against the Broncos. But I like that you didn't call last week against the Broncos. You called up this week after he played Jacksonville. Did you expect him not to play well against Jacksonville?
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I think everybody's selling Jacksonville short. I think Jacksonville and Tennessee are the people in the AFC South to look out for, man. Everybody's talking about the Colts, blowing smoke up their ass, and the Texans, and like I think they're gonna suck this year, man. I think both those teams, I think they're trash.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's great. You think Jacksonville? I would be more concerned if I was
Gardner
a Titan.
Minshew, man. Minshew mania. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. This guy's good.
I thought the Titans have a great defense, though. You gave up 480 yards of offense to Jacksonville.
Nah, you're right. You're right. The defense has not been looking up to spec so far. I'm with you on that. But, I mean, I don't know, man.
All right, you're excited, you're fired up, the Titans won the game.
Yeah.
You want me to lick the toes of Ryan Tannehill, and you're bothered by that?
I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not saying every game he's going to play is going to be a golden four-touchdown effort.
I think Ryan Tannehill's the same guy he was in Miami. He played well last year. I give him credit for the Titans, but in Miami, he'd have a good game, and then he'd have a so-so game, and then he'd have a bad game, and then he'd have another good game. We call it the Tannehill three-step. And I look at what he did last week against the Broncos, and I think he averaged less than 6 yards per pass attempt against Denver. That's not a great performance. So, and then this week he came back and played very well and averaged 10 yards an attempt against Jacksonville, which is fine. It's great, but the good news is, Dave, look, as you said, the division, Houston, forget about it. The only real hope here is the Indianapolis Colts, that the Colts will rise up with old man Rivers and cause you some heartache there.
Yeah, look, like I said, I know he's not Tom Brady, but I feel pretty good about, it seems like everybody's covering for Derrick Henry. Tannehill's still throwing a few lasers here and there. I think he's good enough to get the job done, man. I feel pretty good about it.
All right, well, he
right
got it
now.
Done last. He got to the AFC Championship game last year. Let's see him do it again. But I got to go. Thank you, Dave. Some quality Tennessee Titan hot talk on the radio. Clearly. Yeah, Jacksonville, they covered the spread on that. They needed late to push there at the end for Jacksonville. They had a couple of fourth quarter touchdowns to close the margin. And then it came down to a Steven Gostkowski 49-yard field goal at the end, which he converted, and wrapping up an 8-play, 29-yard drive. And the Tennessee Titans into the win column. So they're 2-0. And their defense, though, gave up 480 yards to Jacksonville. And Gardner Minshew had 339 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. He did have a couple of interceptions. But 339 yards and 3 touchdowns. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you're on hold, hang up. Call back in a little bit because we have an iconic bit, one of the great bits on the radio. It is called the Insta Advice Line. The Insta Advice Line. So if you want to recommend, now I have an idea what I'm going to do with the Insta Advice Line, but if you want to recommend something, maybe that'll catch my attention and sway me at the last minute. But who needs our advice in the world of sports? This can be an NFL team. This could be a coach. This can be a star athlete. Obviously, we're mostly doing a football show here, so it's going to be somebody from the football world that needs our advice. The Insta Advice Line, Unscreen Radio. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If you're a regular listener, you know the Ben Maller Show's unconventional sports talk. We dabble in the outlandish and bond with the freaks and geeks. Facebook's a digital playground for all of us. You can chat with other P1 friends of the show. It's painless. And you can cancel anytime. Just like our page. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
It is unscreened radio. The safety net is off. We open up the phone lines here and let the crazies in. Who needs our advice this week? Now, we're going to try something a little different here. There are 11 teams at this moment who are 0-2 in the NFL. But of those 11 teams, I believe I'm correct on this, the only two that actually that made the playoffs last year are the Houston Texans and the Minnesota Vikings. Everyone else, I believe, missed out on the playoffs. They were bad teams last year. So the Vikings and the Texans, we give advice to these teams. The Minnesota Vikings have been outscored by 26 points, which is not the worst in the NFL. The worst in the NFL, the Houston Texans at 0-2, they have been outscored by 31 points. That is the biggest point differential in the NFL. So advice to the 0-2 squads, particularly, though, the Vikings and the Texans at 877-99 on Fox. Hello, you are on the air. Your advice, please, to the 0-2 squads in Houston and Minnesota. Hello.
Hello, yeah, Brian Fenley's mom can't wrestle, but you should see
her. All right, thank you for that. Moving on. See, these guys get this one line, and they just got to use the same line. All right, you are next here. We're giving advice to the 0-2 squads of the NFL, but in particular, the Texans and the Vikings. Hello, you're on the air. I hear you moving around. Hello. All right, you're not Goodbye. Paying attention. All right, this is off to a flying start. You're next. You're on the air. 877-99 on Fox. Giving advice to the 0-2 squads. There are 11 of them, but particularly the Texans and the Vikings. Hello.
Two hams, $20. Two hams, $20.
All right, thank you for that. Solid football advice.
Jerk yourself away.
Tell you something. You turn to the late-night radio listener to help you out and really learn about the inside information you need to watch football. Hello, you are next. You're on the air. Hello.
I'm Fudgy Kamal, and Bill Belichick stinks now.
Okay, thank you, Fuzzy Kamal. Yes, he's terrible because Cam Newton couldn't get 1 yard at the end for the Patriots, and so they go down in defeat. We'll keep it going. 877-99 on Fox. It is the instant advice line for the 0-2 teams. There are 11 of them at this moment, including the Houston Texans and the Minnesota Vikings. They were in the playoffs last year, so we're giving advice to these 0-2 teams. Hello, you're on the air. Go.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, thank you for that. You knew you said his name. Congratulations. What happened to the Where's My Baseball Guy? Peyton Manning's the greatest ever. All the staples of the instant advice line.
Who?
We got to get some new staples. I don't like the new staples that have started to show up. These interlopers. Hello, you're next. You're on the air. Go.
Anthony Effin Davis.
All right, thank you for that. You are next. Hello, it's football, dummy. That's a typical low-information fan. We're talking football, and that guy yells out and randomly says nonsense. Who cares about
story.
That? It's not basketball. Hello, you're on the air. Go.
Hey, man, this is Ghost of Jimmy Ray from Tampa Bay.
Oh, Jimmy Ray, I was a big fan of your calls back in the day. How's the other side, Jimmy Ray?
I'm doing good, man. I'm sitting here with Tom Looney celebrating the death of his game show.
Is that right? All right. I didn't see that. I haven't heard from Looney the last couple days. I don't know what happened. Usually he harasses me on the text. All right, we'll keep it going. The ghost of Jimmy Ray checking in. Hello, you're on the air. Go.
Tim Tebow!
Oh, my God. Sir, that's like a 12-year-old phone call. That's an old phone call. My God, bad job by you. All right, you're next. We're giving advice to the 11 0-2 teams, but particularly the Texans and the Vikings. Hello, you're on the air. Go.
Hey, J.J. Watt, feed your team some more of them sub sandwiches and beef them up.
There you go. Good advice to JJ. He'll just go flex in the weight room is what he's going to do. All right, we're going to do one more and only one more. It's the instant advice line for the 0-2 teams. There are 11 of them in the NFL, but in particular, the Texans and the Vikings. They were in the playoffs a year ago, and they're off to the 0-2 starts now. Koopaloop, you will pick the final call on the instant advice line.
Line 6.
Line 6. You're on the air, Line 6. Hello.
It all goes back to the social psychosexual revolution of the late 60s and early 70s. That's how the Vikings can go.
There you go. It's all related to the old days.